Hello and welcome to You Awakening. This is your host, Jacqueline Johnston. And I'd like to welcome you and to thank you for taking time from your busy schedules to join us this evening or later on while listening to the replay. Your presence really matters. That's what this is all about, is forming community and supporting each other in the awakening process. And to help us, I've invited a real master who may tell us about her own awakening in just a few moments. So I'd like to welcome now, all of a sudden I tripped on your name, Anamika.
Anamika. Yeah.
I've had some coaching on that, and
okay.
I apologize.
No problem. It's fine.
So could we begin by hearing about your own awakening experience, how you came to the place of being able to hold such a high vibration for people and bring through the love frequency, the unconditional love frequency?
Sure. Well, first, thank you, Jacqueline, for having me on the show. And I just want to attune my energies and connect with everybody all over the world so that, you know, before I say more, I just want to say that I'm so delighted and honored to be with each of you. And you may feel as we're going my presence or an energy transmission touching you. So it's best through this call to go into as much of a feeling mode and to feel what's between the words. The words are certainly there to, you know, delight the mind and to learn, and yet you will learn most through the direct transmission of light that you can experience directly in your body. So the best way to absorb this is just to go into that deep feeling mode and allow it to work with you, to be with you, and allow yourself to be with all of us. So again, it's a true, true pleasure and delight to be with all of you and with you, Jacqueline. So yeah.
Thank you. And what a perfect way to begin. I know that what you're saying is so true. You know, we've had a few phone calls to set up this evening, and it's always moving into a state of grace. And I'm hoping that everyone is already feeling that and aware that there is transmissions and between the words, and I would say that it's probably best to caution about driving. Would you agree on that?
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it's possible. It's best to be right. Best to be still.
Okay. So let me just ask a bit about your own awakening process and how you got to this point.
Yeah. Well, my whole—I remember coming to the Earth. Actually, I happened to have recall of making the choice to be born into this particular life called Anamika. I remember that very clearly. And in this life, which is true for a lot of us right now who are really waking up, we designed it as a completion lifetime, meaning we came to really finish up with a lot of the deep beliefs which have kept us out of the next energy system, the next octave of consciousness, the next octave of joy and freedom and love. And for me, I remember coming, so my passion through this whole life has been my own awakening and also passing on whatever I've discovered and am exploring and discovering, passing that on to others. And that's truly what I care about the most. I just live for that. And of course, I do other things. I do all kinds of things in my life. Yet my passion is always just that, like being as fully present and conscious and aware as I can, and then just the daily discoveries of new awarenesses, new ahas, new octaves, new feelings. It's just extraordinary, because one of the things that I've really, really learned is that whatever we thought, the words that we've used, like feelings, just a simple word, what do I feel? The feelings that we have coming from the old operating system or the old paradigm of reality, that they are completely different than what I now call feeling. And the feelings that I now would call feeling, they include a different kind of sadness, anger, fear, joy, and also sensations. They're so different than what we would call feelings in the old in our old language. So we don't have new language for where we're going, for where evolution is inviting us to go, and what we're changing into. We don't have the language, but I rely on kind of sharing my discoveries in this way with you in terms of my own energy transmission so that you can actually feel it in yourself. And one very useful way to look at this is, you know, a simple way is if you take a 35 millimeter film and if you were to stretch that film, unroll it and stretch it out, that film would be 2,500 feet long. And what we normally look at as reality is one frame of that film. So you can see, yeah, if we're looking at one tiny little frame of that 2,500 mile, you know, all of those frames, however many are in there, that's the difference between what we normally look at with our five senses, the light that we can perceive with our senses, versus what's actually available. So for me, my inquiry and passion have always been, what else? Who am I really? What more is there to me than what I can simply perceive through these five senses or through my brain? The limitation of, it's not the brain per se, it's the thinking patterns that get so, are so limited. The stories I tell myself about who I think I am versus the expansiveness and the limitlessness of who I really am. So that understanding, not an intellectual understanding, but more of what you might call a gnosis, a G-N-O-S-I-S, which means a deeply experiential, felt, palpable experience or understanding of who you really are. That's something that only experiencing can give you. It's not something you can understand with the thought process only because the thoughts are too limited for what we can actually experience through our feeling states, which include sensations, and it includes our non-ordinary senses, meaning the senses, not just our hearing and taste and touch that we use on a daily basis, because that's only one tiny little frame of this 2,500-mile-long film. So that is extraordinarily limited. And when we're willing to not just think we know, but truly have the desire to partner with the unknown and to really come to see it as a friend and an ally and a lover, in fact, not as a scary, terrible place that's going to rob us of our life and, you know, take us down the tubes and we have to fight for our survival. If we see it that way, we won't have any interest in partnering with the unknown.
Or much bigger then. Mm-hmm. And we're so dwarfed and so small.
Yes. And so when we're willing to truly partner with that in openness, in trust, then we really, truly start to experience so much more of who we are beyond that one little film. And one of the biggest mistakes that I found that really can trip us up, that a lot of different, I've read it over the years, and you know, different people who are trying to get rid of their ego or try to get rid of that one little film, that one little, you know, frame of the film, that doesn't work either. And that's a big mistake that people often make, thinking, well, I have to perfect myself and I have to get rid of that thing. And it's what happens is we include the way we've been and the thoughts we've had and the patterns we've had and the stories we've told. We can include those with so much compassion and forgiveness. Forgiveness not meaning I did something wrong, but just I care about myself and love myself enough to grow beyond thinking that one tiny frame is my only reality. You know, I'm so excited about life, meaning this is what one says to oneself, is and a true feeling is I'm so delighted to explore. I'm so interested in the wonder and delight of exploration and discovery of who I am and of how we create reality, that I'm willing to grow and expand beyond thinking that one frame of that long film is all of me. So there's a tremendously exciting process when we become truly willing to not try to get rid of the part that's very frightened of the unknown, because we're hardwired. That's our, you know, it's an animal survival mechanism. which works really well if you're in the jungle. The laws of the jungle operate that way. However, we are definitely at this point in our consciousness, in the history of humanity, we are so, going so rapidly beyond that, and beyond that survival programming. And the opportunity is to actually embrace and embody and live from an entirely different dimension or paradigm or operating system or octave of consciousness, so that we're not operating from that survival mechanism, even though it's still embedded, it's still there. So the goal isn't to get rid of it, it's to love it for what it is and let it sit in the back seat of the car, so to speak, and the more spiritually mature part of us that can come from our heart's desires and not our ego's demands can actually drive the car, you know, can guide and give guidance and drive. So we're shifting right now very rapidly, and what's happening on the planet right now, Jacqueline, oh my God, everybody's
going to ask.
No, you were okay. Well, it's impossible to miss, you know, for most people, because the intensity is so exquisite. And one can experience that in one or two or more ways, but I'd like to name a few of the ways so that we can, you know, identify with that. One way that we can hold the intensity is as an exponential quickening, which is, it's kind of like if you were to boil water and it starts churning and boiling and quickening and activating faster and faster, it starts to put off steam, and the steam is a different state of being than the water itself. And if you were to live in water, it would be a different experience than living in the steam, for example. Or if we were to live in density, on dry land, or in gravity, let's say, it's a better way to say it, when we live in gravity, it's a completely different experience than an astronaut who experiences weightlessness. And the intensity is bringing us into a new state of being that literally is experienced as weightlessness, meaning there's not the density to slow us down. There isn't the drag. It's like a superconductor that moves so, so smoothly and elegantly and rapidly, effortlessly, that we are open to so many more of those frames of our film that we're talking about. So many more frames suddenly come into view. They're suddenly available. And people often ask me the question, well, how do I open up my uncommon senses, and how do I remember my past lives, or how do I remember this or that? And you don't, the question how do I actually locks us back down into density, whereas when we're willing to simply feel and open, it happens very naturally. Suddenly we find ourselves exploring and being aware of different frames of our film. So back for a moment to how we can experience the intensity that's happening right now. Because intensity, there's an incredible beauty in intensity. And what it also does is it will pull up very powerfully all of the beliefs, old beliefs and stories, including around survival, that if I open up and surrender and open and let go and really become weightless for real, if I really become the light that I am, that I won't survive. And there is a part of us, that one little frame, that our little one there, that one frame that truly, truly believes that. So again, so that part of us will have a lot to say about all the changes. And it may bring up a lot of pain. It may bring up a lot of refusal to budge. It may bring up all the resistance that we've ever felt through lifetimes about really, really opening, because for those people for whom this is our completion lifetime or a completion lifetime, meaning you can come back to Earth in form by choice if you wish, if it's fun and wonderful, but that's not what I hear. Most of the old souls are not saying that. They're like, I can't wait to get off this planet, or what am I still doing here, or why is it so dense, or I wish I were elsewhere. And what happens is that once we actually start to transcend those beliefs and that frequency band that's so heavy, it's so tied to gravity, once we begin to truly experience the lightness of being and the joy and the playfulness where we're not limited, then it's a total delight, and then we can choose, would I like to be in form again on Earth or not? And it becomes a real choice, not, you know, oh my God, I have to get out of here because it's so terrible, and what is tomorrow going to bring? So when, through this intensity, which when these deeper old belief systems come up for review and for examination, it's very, very important to hold them with gratitude, not push them away or reject them or try to get rid of them. But when we bring the frequency of gratitude, which comes from our heart, to recognize that, ah, this is my doorway. This belief that has just arisen, or this pain that has just emerged, is actually my doorway. It's my friend. Let me be present with it, with understanding, with compassion. And when I do give myself that much permission, that much love and permission to be present with whatever is so in the moment, then everything transmutes and it moves so, so quickly. And the thing that slows us down and really creates the worst of what is real pain, suffering, is when we push against the very natural process of being present with the parts of us that we're becoming aware of and holding them with love and compassion, in which case they integrate. And when we accept and receive and feel our feelings and integrate these parts of us, then they contribute to further enlightening. And that becomes this beautiful process of constant integrating and enlightening, because we're not getting to one place where we finally are enlightened and then we stop. That's a very old school and rigid perspective of how life actually works, how creation works, which is always going on. It's always in a flow. It's constantly moving and changing. We are. It is, we are, and we are part of that. So there isn't a place that we get to called enlightenment, which is out there like climbing the corporate ladder and I finally become awake or I finally become enlightened. In fact, I love the title of your show because it's awakening. It's you awakening, which
Thank
is
you.
You acknowledging that process. You're saying, hey, it's not you awakened. You know, right, you're not saying I've arrived at some place. It's you're showing a great awareness there of the beauty of the process that goes on. And that's an ongoing awakening, integrating, enlightening. And that's very powerful, the little ing words there. So the time we're in right now, to answer your question, is really the beauty of intensity, and also to really, really, this particular year happens to be where the energies of gratitude are extraordinarily available, which means when we come to hold ourselves and whatever is arising in us with deep gratitude, then the process of integrating and awakening and enlightening happens very, very smoothly, like with the superconductor. It happens with much more grace. And that doesn't mean we won't have parts of us that are kicking and screaming and refusing and don't want to go and don't want to budge and are crying. And, you know, none of us do this perfectly with total grace, yet it makes it more graceful, more effortless. There's just the word more in there is really important. So that's where we are now. And in this particular year is very much the year where the energies of gratitude are available. And I just want to put in one more point about that, which is gratitude isn't only something I'm grateful for. Like, well, I'm grateful to you for having me on this show. That, you can hear my voice kind of goes flat on that. Or I can say, you know, I am really grateful to you for having me on the show. So that's lovely. That's a feeling of gratitude, not just a thought about it. The first was the thought that I'm grateful. I'm grateful to you. And that's coming from my mind. And you can hear there's no resonance in that. Then if I go to my heart and say, Jacqueline, I'm really, really grateful from my heart for being with you now and being with everybody on this show, then you can hear the resonance of that. And then if I take it one step further and just say, not go beyond being grateful for something, but just if I'm willing to experience gratitude as a live energy, as a live being almost, that I am present with and open to and am willing to experience its essence, its energy, if I feel gratitude itself as a resonance, as a live energy, then suddenly you can feel the deepening and expansion of that energy. And that energy then truly is like a universal solvent that begins to dissolve the pain and the hurts and the old beliefs. It does it for us. And then the process becomes even more elegant and more effortless, which that's all good. That's what feels good. So it's not wrong to do it the old school way, yet there's so much more that's available that's much more fun. It's more fun, it's more joyous, it's more free, it's light. It's full of light particles. Yeah. So I
beautiful. And you're so articulate, and I'd love to hear from people on the call through the Q&A box on the webcast, you know, if you're feeling this too. Did you feel the difference as she modeled the three different levels?
Maybe I'll do it one more time, shall I? Because
sure.
I'll make it very, very clear. Okay, so I'll just go in my mind and say, yeah, I'm grateful to you, or love you, or I'm grateful for that. So you can hear and feel, sense, the some level of, there's some truth in it, and yet it's not really connected. Then if I go to my heart and say, ah, I really, really love you, and I am grateful for this moment together, grateful for your existence in this world. I'm grateful to your presence. I'm grateful we are together now, and I love this exchange. So that's a different experience. And then another experience beyond that, deeper than that, is, and I'm going to resonate this with you all, is let's resonate together with the light particles, with the actual consciousness of gratitude itself as alive, as a living consciousness. And we don't need to know why we're grateful or about what we're grateful, just, oh, I'm willing to experience the consciousness of gratitude itself in this moment within me. And that's an entirely different resonance.
I was just giving everyone a moment to really feel that.
Yes.
Because we can speak, but I think the experience last longer.
Absolutely, Jacqueline. Absolutely.
Becomes embodied.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. You know, and you're so beautifully articulate.
Oh, thanks.
I'm wondering, would this be a good time to take a caller or two?
Sure. Why not?
Okay. I am calling on someone now from California.
Oh, local.
Your home state?
Yeah, local.
Hello?
Hello, this is Rich in Waikiki.
Hi there.
Hi. Well, my head is fully agrees with everything. I can certainly feel the difference there. I'm not as numb. I'm more able to feel things than I was even a few months ago. But I still block tears, you know, actual sobbing type things is not an option for me, and I'm afraid to feel. There are lots of other experiences which I get very, you know, rejection. Which makes me malfunctional. Or if I'm criticized, somebody misunderstands me, thinks I'm attacking them when I'm really just trying to communicate something. I need to write, at least write down what I wanted to tell them, even if they're not available to talk. If it's not the right time to do it, once I write it down, I feel better. But I'm just not able to feel some feelings.
Yeah. So you're wondering. I can hear you wondering here. How do I go about this?
Yeah. Yeah. And can you help?
Sure. Exactly. Thanks for asking. I got you. I hear you. Okay. Yeah. So it's wonderful that you're laughing because you're recognizing in that you're actually being heard right now and not rejected, which is wonderful. You're being connected with. And so So if you allow yourself just for a moment, Rich, just to feel that place of connection that's happening between us and between you and Jacqueline and you and the rest of the people, if you just let yourself experience that just for the moment, then suddenly you'll notice, oh, I'm starting to feel something in me. And when we enter the realm of feeling, this is true for everybody, we don't know what we're going to feel. There's no agenda there. For example, I can't say, well, I really want to or need to experience my grief or this or that. We don't get to control it.
Oh, we don't?
No.
Oh,
no.
We.
Yeah. And you brought up a really important, I'm glad you're enjoying this, because you're bringing up something really important that I'd like to talk about with everybody. Imagine this for a moment, and this is for Rich and everybody, because Rich, you're really giving voice to a lot of people's concerns, and it's a question that people ask me all the time, which is, well, how do I do this? And so imagine this for a moment. This is for everybody. If you were sitting at a table and you had a jigsaw puzzle spread out all over the table in pieces, but imagine that you have never seen the picture of this jigsaw puzzle. You don't know what it looks like at all. And you're sitting at this table, and there are pieces just scattered everywhere, but you don't know what the picture is. So, of course, your mind is going to want to control it and pick the right pieces and hurry up and put them into the picture that you have in mind. And, of course, you won't be able to do that, because if anybody's experienced a jigsaw puzzle, you know that when you pick the first piece and you bring it in front of you, right, you've got everything cleared off, the pieces are all around, and you put one little piece in front of you. And then you go, okay, well, that's interesting. Then you look for another piece, and you put that next piece in front of you, and you look down, and lo and behold, those two pieces don't seem to go together at all, right? They just don't. There's no way to fit them together, and there's no way to make it fit, because they just don't. And then, okay, you pick a third piece, you kind of scan the table, and you pick your third piece out, and you bring it in front of you, and, oh, darn, what's the matter? What did I do wrong? This isn't working. I'm getting frustrated. I'm getting impatient. Darn, I wanted this to work. I want to see the picture. Oh, shoot, this isn't happening. So then you pick a fourth and a fifth, and nothing's fitting together, it seems. They're just sitting there on the table. So, I'm not going to trust that somehow if I just keep gathering pieces that at some point maybe a bigger picture will start to appear. Maybe, you know, more of those little frames on my 35-millimeter film will start to appear. Oh, no, I don't trust that. So I've got a bright idea. I'm going to grab a pair of scissors, and I'm going to start cutting those pieces and forcing them to fit together.
That's cheating.
Yeah. And then what happens is, oh, my God, I've got the ugliest picture possible that was bending. I was trying to bend it my life, which is my picture, trying to bend it to my will based on me trying to make this thing fit rather than just being open to whatever comes into my feeling senses, whatever next arises. So this is one very important point in terms of really trusting the process of life and going beyond the part of us that wants to control it, because The second we grab that pair of scissors and start cutting, we've just locked down limitless possibility. We've just killed the flow. We've killed the exploration. We've killed the discovery. And for sure, we've killed the flow that's our natural state of being. And as soon as we kill the flow, we've locked ourselves for eternity, until we change, into that one frame. And we keep playing the same film over and over, ad nauseum, until we realize, wait a minute, this is not working. So that's one really, really important part of how do I learn to feel. Well, feeling our energy flow, feeling beyond our numbness, feeling beyond our mental stories is the most natural thing possible, and yet we, instead of trusting the process of the jigsaw puzzle, we keep grabbing those scissors prematurely and trying to force it into our own box, our own frame. Let's make a frame on this table and make this picture called my life fit that frame. And so that is one of the things that doesn't work. And however, as soon as we become aware that we're trying to do that, we can bring the forgiveness and compassion, because that's how we were trained. You know, it's not our fault. That's the operating system in which we all were raised, and it's the predominant one on the planet right now, that at this time of intensity, we're going beyond. We have the opportunity right now, particularly now, to really, really grow beyond it. So one of the most important things to answer, and I'm answering, thank you, Rich, for your patience here, because I'm answering in a very broad way for everybody's benefit, because I appreciate that question. Yeah, and there's one more point.
Make it more clear to me, too.
Yeah, exactly so. So I really deeply appreciate your question, because it's what it's everybody's concern is, how do I get beyond the old operating system? Because that's really what you're asking, and it's a big, important question. In fact, it's the most important. It's like, what are the keys to transcending this old system that I've been locked in, which leaves me in a numb, unfeeling state, not able to really feel? So the second part of this, one is we get to recognize where our control is jumping in and trying to squash ourselves, our beautiful, limitless jigsaw puzzle, into this one little frame. And the second is that we were brought up not understanding, not experiencing what authentic feelings are, but instead being exposed to a lot of drama, reactive drama, in the name of feeling, which is very, very frightening. And so it makes us, our reaction then is to be afraid of feeling, because for most of us, the level of outrage and violence that came at us, or the level of frustration in the name of, you know, love that came at us, or the level of, for example, when people feel powerless, instead of letting ourselves feel the powerlessness of the part of us that's present in order to expand into our true power beyond the powerlessness, instead of that, what we tend to do is fight against feeling powerless, and instead, oh, I'm so pissed off, we go into this outrage against other people. It's your fault, it's their fault, I'm so pissed off. And if it goes far enough, it turns into violence, literal violence, and killing, which is very frightening. Or it turns in against ourselves, which is, what's wrong with you? Why can't you be in control? Why can't you make this work? Get it together. You're doing this wrong. You're not feeling yet. You're not doing this right. You know, you don't know how to do it. So it turns against ourselves into an enrage. Or, for example, instead of authentic grief happening, what we experienced as a child was mostly a lot of self-pity. People whining and complaining and even crying for hours in a very self-pitying way. And that's not grief. Who wants to be stuck in that loop? And so what, or fear. People say, I'm so scared. And what that really is anxiety, which is a non-feeling state. It's a state of pushing away from authentic feeling and telling a story that says, I'm so scared because this is going to kill me, or I don't have the power to do this, or I'm going to be rejected, or blah, blah, blah. So we tell a lot of stories which shut down our authentic feelings. Then we go into anxiety or depression, which are actually non-feeling states of disempowerment and numbness, and we say that we're feeling. So honestly, our association with feeling is pretty awful, meaning the things that we thought were feelings are very awful, painful states.
And
that are not,
idea.
Yeah, they're not what real feeling is about. So one of the things to understand here also is we need to relearn a lot of things, which is authentic feeling, whether it's fear, whether it's anger, so whether it's grief, joy, it moves very quickly within, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute. It just moves through. It doesn't linger. Now, if there's a major loss like a death, the grief may be very, very intense for longer than 20 seconds. It may go on, you know, in waves. It comes in waves, and it may go on for a while. But when you don't engage in the self-pity that would say, why did this person leave me? It isn't fair. This shouldn't have happened. You know, when you give the person, when you hold them in your heart with their right to leave or to die, when it's their soul's choice, whether or not it looks fair or reasonable on a personality level, or whether or not it looks like an accident, when you give them the right to say, wow, I guess that was truly at some profound level there, or at some higher level, it was their choice. If you're able to hold it that way, no matter how it looks to you, or no matter what they say, like, I'm fighting for my life here, and I don't want to die, and their personality will say that. But when I attune myself to the soul and spirit of the being, they're saying, you know, it's my time. I'm finished. I'm choosing to depart now. And so when we tune into that level instead of what the personality or the control thinks it wants, it's a completely different experience where you can line up with a person's choice to leave, even though you miss them and grieve. You also, it's an and, you also can line up with honoring their soul's choice, and then you can find your own heart right there, which then takes you beyond your own self-pity and I should have done this, your remorse or your regret or your self-punishment, your blame. Those things don't exist when you're truly coming from, wow, I love this being so much that if it was their choice to go, even though I'm mad about it and even though I'm annoyed and even though I didn't want it this way and even though I'm grieving, it's also okay. And if you can hear how I'm including everything from all of the voices, the and, that it's not, I'm just grieving and I'm pissed off and I'm not in alignment with this other being. You can hear how, yes, I'm aligning my heart with this being as I feel my own grief and as I feel my anger about them leaving and as I go through the grieving process. And the thing about, Jacqueline was asking me before, you know, just on the, right before we started this call, we just chatted for a few moments, and she was saying, you know, do you want to repeat it? It was about animals, Jacqueline, because this is, it comes in right here beautifully.
I had remembered from earlier conversations and you wrote a wonderful book on this, about how pets are here to help us with consciousness, with our evolution.
Yes. And the reason they can be such model for us is because they feel very deeply, but they don't tell stories that prevent the feelings from moving through quickly. So in other words, the animals don't interpret things the way our brains do. They just don't, they don't tell stories that lock them into an old reality. So for example, how can and animals who have been abused, or when we've been abused, we can move through that quite quickly. And our body moves through the cellular memory of that when we don't tell a story like, well, because it happened once, it's going to happen again. Or I know what reality is, and I know how things are, and I know how humans are, and I know how this planet works. So when we don't lock ourselves into stories about, which animals don't do, we're present, and animals are extraordinarily present, and they feel deeply, and they carry this higher frequency as well. So they're here very much helping us and guiding us, even to the point of mirroring to us what we are believing, the beliefs that we're ready to transcend. So, for example, you know the old thing about how people and their animals look alike. You know, you see people and their dogs walking down the street. You know, you've seen this a million times. They look alike. They act alike. And I've certainly experienced this with my Afghans. We look alike. We act alike. So, and they've always shown me exactly, look what you're doing, Anamika. You know, they put me through my paces big time. They were the most perfect mirrors. And also, at the same time, holding an absolute unconditional love and demonstrating to me how to go beyond stories where they just are in pure experience because they live beyond time and space. They live in time and space, but their consciousness, the place from which they experience, which is the same for us, is beyond time and space. It's multidimensional. It's infinite. So they're not locked into interpreting everything through that one little frame of our little film here, our little picture. They're not locked into saying, well, just because I got this happened once, it's going to happen again. In fact, here's an amazing example. My Afghan, Shakara, who was 14, and I wrote about this in that book that Jacqueline mentioned called Love in Fur Coats. But here's an amazing story, which really taught me something incredible, which is she was born sick with lung problems, with pneumonia, and I was born the same. What a coincidence. Then she had chronic fatigue, which I did. What a coincidence. And then when she was 13, she had an experience where she almost died because it was very, you know, an accident where she swallowed a big chunk of meat and it got lodged in her throat. And she started dying, and she left her body. Mm-hmm. And I felt her at that moment connect with me, and she could feel that I really wasn't ready for her to go and that I still really needed her presence and that she was so sad out of her love for me that I was so sad. She popped back in her body, and at that moment, the Heimlich that I was doing with her popped the meat out of her throat. It was a big fat turkey giblet. And do you know what happened? By her deciding to come back and spend a little more time, she completely healed and never was sick one more day in her life. And she had been sick her entire life. In fact, her 13th year, she was in the hospital 6 times with pneumonia, still showing me what I was believing as, you know, I needed some illness somehow. I needed to suffer. And she got completely healthy in her 14th year, never had one sick moment from then on. And in fact, the moment she died, it was a conscious death where she just went to sleep and just left her body so effortlessly because she just said, okay, it's my time now. And I grieved, of course, and at the same time could totally align with her choice because I knew that I was ready and she was ready at that moment. And it just showed, you know, the story of my life and her life had been, oh, we need to be sick, we need to suffer, you know, it was... That story was there, constantly creating that. And when she changed her consciousness entirely about, you know what, I choose to live from a different place in myself now, which is our choice. I choose to live. I don't need to hold my old stories in place, which lock my old biochemistry in place. It locks my old, what I called emotions in place. When I just make that shift to, wait a minute, that's not necessary. I actually have a choice. And she made the choice to live. And as soon as she made that choice, it was so powerful that her entire biochemistry at 14 years old totally changed, as did mine. As did mine. And, yeah.
It's so a beautiful story.
Yeah, so that's, thank you. That is a very in-depth answer to how, the question how, which is everybody's question, how do I start to heal? One is, let's recognize the stories that we're telling that keep us locked into thinking we're feeling. Oh, I'm feeling. I'm so upset. I'm this. I'm that. But that's not really feeling. That's anxiety and depression and a non-feeling state. And then what if we could allow with our true resonance, our true breath, our energy, what if we could allow for authentic feeling, which is very soft, even fear, believe it or not, fear is not scary. Fear is very soft. Anger is very warm and hot and moves like a burst of heat that's very powerful, but it's not scary. Grief is just this river running that's cleansing. Joy is scintillating and sparkling and it's an enlivening. It's coming alive in a whole new way. And all of these energies as they move bring us more light. We become more enlightened or more in the process, further in the process of enlightening, more expansive is what I mean by further, just more expansive in every direction simultaneously. So everything then becomes a beautiful process. There's no true emotion as distinguished from the false things that we thought were feelings. There's no true emotion that's actually feels bad. They all feel good, and we're safe enough to actually let ourselves feel even fear. Real fear, authentic fear, it's like a bunny rabbit. Very soft. And the more tender and accepting we get, it just moves. It's not that big, dramatic thing that we think is, oh, I'm so scared, which is really histrionics and drama. It's really not feeling. So I'm talking about here, too, a new paradigm of consciousness in which our entire definition of everything is completely different. So I don't know, Jacqueline, if you want to take one more caller, but thank you, Rich, so much. I hope that was helpful to you. And just
it was. I thought I've heard I've heard things for 20 odd years. I thought I knew everything, and you either come up with new ideas or at the very least, a much clearer way of expressing some ideas that had been hinted at by one man.
Well, what's happening now that I just would like to point out to you, and I hope this is happening for everyone as well, which is you're actually starting to feel your own energy now in a much different way, because I'm watching your energy field at a distance. You know, I'm seeing you long distance, and I'm feeling you, and I can feel that you're actually vibrating right now with more light, and as a result, you're understanding much more deeply the whole, your jigsaw puzzle. It's starting to come together for you. So you have a beautiful jigsaw puzzle, and congratulations on the one you chose.
Yes, thank you.
And what did you say authentic fear was again?
Just very soft. It feels like it's just fear. It's like a bunny rabbit. It's just fear. You just let it move. It's very soft. Our feelings are very soft, all of them. They're beautiful. They're all different. But fear, believe it or not, is actually soft. Yeah. Contrary to popular notion, nothing I'm saying right now is exactly what the collective believes, but that's okay. We'll get there.
That's why we would like to hear you.
thank you, Rich, so much. And I
thank
appreciate
you,
hearing you deeply as well. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
To hear you. Yeah.
Hi there. A couple of thoughts. One is, if I can just say, to support the power of what you're talking about, is that for quite some time, since the mid-90s actually, in my healing practice, I've worked with people who've had the diagnosis of cancer, and many quite advanced, you know, in fourth stage.
Yeah.
And such a key turning point is being able to move through some of these emotions.
Yeah.
And I didn't need the medical test to know that there was turning back the hands of time each time there was a major clearing like that the emotion was allowed to just simply freshly, cleanly come through.
Yes. And it completely expands us into a very different consciousness. And, you know, keep expanding and keep expanding and opening and deepening and finding more of those, discovering more of those little frames on our film, and we become increasingly joyous and free. And then what starts to happen, and this is, I think, another little place to focus just for, you know, just to see the hope that's available now. Because I know a lot of people feel so bogged down and hopeless, and will I ever get through this, and will this ever end? And to give you real hope, and this is for everybody again, what ends up happening, what my experience is, and I know, you know, I'll tell you my experience now, and then 3 weeks from now I'll tell you more, and something else. But for now, what my experience is that as we become more and more acclimated to navigating within that weightlessness, like the astronaut, you know, first you you go in a little space capsule and you get used to it in on land, when you're still on land and you go into a weightless capsule. And then maybe you have your space mission and you take your first spacewalk and you're in your spacesuit and you're tethered. And then, you know, what if, well, I'm going to take off my spacesuit, but I'm hanging onto the tether for dear life real tightly because I'm breathing oxygen through the tether somehow. You know, I'm making this up. It doesn't work mechanically that way, but this is a little metaphor. And then what if eventually you decide, whoa, I'm ready to let the tether go and trust that actually I'm breathing light, that I'm actually breathing and vibrating with light entirely, and I don't need tethers and spacesuits and capsules and whatever else I needed before to navigate within density, within gravity. And I describe some of this in my book, French Lessons in Love, which sounds like it's a language book, but it's really about this. It's really about awakening. It's French. The cute thing is French Lessons in Love and some lessons in language, too. So the lessons in the language were the minor part, although I did learn to speak French. But what I was really learning at that period was to let go of the tether and to navigate in weightlessness. And in other words, to see that's where I'm actually safe. I'm safe when I'm just floating and breathing, floating in the weightlessness and breathing light and being that light, knowing myself as one with that. And it doesn't mean that there aren't little pieces going, oh, get back to gravity. Oh, my God, hold on. Grab the tether back. Get back to Earth. You know, there are pieces that do that as a knee-jerk reaction for a while. But they get to be come along, too. They don't need to be punished or made wrong. You just go, okay, I get it. I have compassion for these parts, too. They're just, you know, they're authentically frightened. They have dread, like, oh, my God, what's happening? You're entering a new state that we've never experienced before. Head for, you know, get back to Earth quick. But if you keep going and you keep, if you allow for and, which is the title of yet another book, which talks about how you shift from the old paradigm to the new. But if you,
and dot, dot, dot.
Yes, and dot, 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 going on forever. Yes, thank you. If you allow for that and, which is there's a little part of me trying to get back to Earth and trying to stay in control and wanting to cut the pieces of my jigsaw puzzle and wanting to make my life work, but yet if I don't, if I love that part too, and it gets to come along in my weightlessness. It doesn't get to run the show. It just gets to be part of me. You know, my heart and my being is big enough to include even my little parts. Then they may not be in a, those little parts that are kicking and screaming, they may not be in agreement with me. In fact, they're not. They're saying, what are you, crazy? Get back to Earth. You're not going to be safe. You're going to die. So they won't be in agreement with me, but they will end up in harmony with me, meaning they do flow with me because the bigger part of me that is loving the weightlessness is there holding that part. So the little parts that are protesting and kicking and screaming, are no, they no longer have the keys to my reality. They're not driving my car. So what happens when you include everything in and you have all these parts that are in harmony with each other, not in agreement, but in harmony, that's a critical distinction, where, you know, you get to be in, parts of you get to be in disagreement with each other. Like, we don't always agree with each other, and yet it's okay. They all get to come. What happens is that from that state of being, you can actually create, you experience yourself so as one with creation that you experience yourself as creation recreating, newly creating, creating itself anew, not recreating, but creating itself anew. And the new creation that is your life and the world around comes from our truest, deepest heart's desires, which are not things that we want, but it's how do I really want to feel? Oh, I want to feel light and joyous. I want to feel free. I want to feel loving, receiving, giving, in love, loving. I get to love now. I get to feel free now. I get to feel the way I truly want to feel by choice, because I want to, just because I want to. My choice is that I want to feel that way, and we truly feel that way and feel ourselves as part of creation, creating with all that exists, and then we get to discover what we've created. It doesn't come through my mind like, I know what I want is this, but we get to experience what we've created as we're creating it. And it's an it's a simultaneous process that's a paradox, and it's magnificent because in the not knowing what I'm creating, and I'm simply experiencing what I really want to be experiencing, and I don't know what form will happen, that resonance of that is my consciousness precipitates into form so beautifully and effortlessly, and that it's magical. It's really where we get to see the magic of life that doesn't leave a trace of its presence, that it was here. It comes and goes without us really being aware of it, and yet what it leaves is so majestic and so miraculous that we just delight in life. We delight in the great mystery of life, and delight in the fact that every challenge that arises brings us into more of the majesty and the miraculousness of who we are and of the mystery of life. So that's how creation, reality creation, occurs from the new resonance and the new paradigm, and it becomes truly joyous and fun, and the suffering truly ends, and it really becomes a great, great magical mystery tour.
Effortless creation.
Yes.
And a path of evolution.
Yes, and beyond our ability to imagine, beyond anything we could possibly imagine. So then we're starting to really experience all many more of those frames in our film, and then we notice, our little film is way longer than 2,500 miles. That was just light that humans can perceive. That was just the light that is perceptible through our uncommon senses. And what if there's even more than that? And what if there's more than that film, and that just goes on forever, infinitely? So that's how we come to experience who we are, because that's who we are. Infinite, eternal beings who are always changing form, always changing in our ways of relating, and always experiencing new truths when we let ourselves experience.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
There's a lot of wisdom there.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Beautiful message. I'd like to turn our attention now to some questions that have come in through the webcast page.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to share a thought. When we first started with Rich, I had the thought, and didn't want to interrupt, that if we all held the energy at the third level, the level of compassion, and resonating with you who are holding that, the gratitude, the compassion, the divine essence energies, it could be good practice, a good experience for us all to come together and use the power of a group to do this.
Thank you for voicing that, because it's exactly what I was feeling and wanting. And so this is an example, because you just gave voice to my truest heart's desire, which was just to sit in silence with people in that resonance, and you just gave voice to it. And so to me, that's how I hold it, as, Jacqueline's a beautiful, reflecting to me. She's a beautiful part of me and reflecting to me beautifully exactly my heart's desire. So thank you.
So we're modeling.
Exactly. Yes. So we're both one and two different parts. And that's the and. We're one and two. We're two and one all at the same time. And the richness comes so much from the multiplicity, where we're speaking to each other back and forth and adding, amplifying. Yeah. So, okay. So let's just breathe together, everybody. And I'm actually adjoining I have been all along, but I will again just focus on each one of you individually. So you might feel presence with you. You might feel yourself more deeply in your own presence, and Jacqueline's presence, and mine, and the presence of everybody else. So this is the and.
And I believe we can include people who listen in the future.
Absolutely. Please, please, please. So we're breathing together, and we're just allowing, we're opening and allowing ourselves to experience ourselves and each other and all, and the people listening in the future, and all. All of creation is welcome and included. As we allow ourselves to feel the energy of gratitude itself, the energy of presence itself, the energy of the richness of who we are, rich, the richness, our caller Rich, the richness of who we are. And just as we're doing this, just be aware, whether you're aware of it or not, more of your film little frames are coming into, maybe not view, but they're coming into, they're coming into your field, and they will come into your experience. And more of your jigsaw puzzle pieces are forming a picture that you may not be able to see at this moment, or you may, but in either case, just trust in the moment that it is happening, because I'm watching it happening clairvoyantly. I'm watching it for everybody. And it's okay if you don't feel it. It's still happening. And through this together right now, we are in fact creating a brighter future without knowing how, why, where, or when. It's actually happening as we speak. In this, Jacqueline, I just want to truly acknowledge you, because I'm watching your aura too, your energy, and you're serving as such a hub of a network of light, where you're serving as a sending and receiving signals through this beautiful network of light. And I just would love to acknowledge the beauty of what I'm seeing in happening in you. You've been doing this for your life, and you're doing it beautifully. So I just want to offer my personal thanks.
Thank you.
I feel lots of thanks coming in from people as well towards you. Yeah. Okay. So thank you, everyone, for the chance to be with you, to be present with you, and really deeply, deep gratitude.
And thank you. That was really beautiful.
So welcome.
What we all created together.
Yes.
What you held space for. So let me just mention that there were a whole number of people who wrote in saying that they really felt the difference that you modeled at the beginning.
Mm, got it.
And so a lot of thank yous. And I'm going to give you two questions, and I think I'm actually going to combine them because my guess is we've already answered them, but I want to give you the opportunity of tuning in individually to these people and if there's any additional points. One is from Amy. This is very cute. She said, my question is how to stay connected to my soul or inner being for more than 2 seconds. So she's saying more generally, how to keep the vibration going and live from there. And I'm actually going to combine that with Michelle from Greenville, South Carolina, who said, how can we check in with ourselves to determine or have awareness from what place we're operating?
Good. Okay. So our soul and our spirit is already here. So it's not up to the voice that's saying, how can I? That little voice is going to be very curious about how can I do this, and it wants to know, yet that's already there. So what happens is not that I find it, but since it's there, by surrendering, looking for it, paradoxically, by simply opening to what do I feel in this moment? And this combines Michelle's question as well, which is, if I'm asking that question, I'm in my head looking for answers, what if I just let go into feeling in this moment? Just like we've been doing through this whole call. What if I simply experience the tingling in my body or the warmth, or I feel my feet on the floor, or I can feel the backs of my legs on the chair, or if I surrender into sensation, then I start to immediately become aware of more of those frames. I start to actually feel more of those frames, which is how I can experience the soul and the spirit that is me that's already here. So if I ask from the little frame, that one frame, how do I go find it? You never will, because that little one isn't capable of transcending itself. It's just one little frame, and it gets to be one little frame which we can love and appreciate. However, to access more, the other frames, the other jigsaw pieces, to access that, we recognize who's talking. Oh, that little I was talking. That's not the one who can do it. It's going to want to do it, and it's going to ask a lot of questions, and its curiosity is wonderful. However, to access what's already here, oh, what if I stop trying to access it? In other words, what if I focus on sensation, on allowing? Very quickly, what starts to occur is you start to expand, become more expansive. You start to use your uncommon senses, which all of us have. Just the way you know a phone call is coming in, you know who it is, boom, there it is. Or, you know, we all use these senses of intuition and of some kind of sixth sense and some kind of knowing beyond the ordinary. We use them all the time. We all have them. We're just so used to looking at that one little frame that we simply forget. Wait, let me slow down and create more inner space. Breathe and allow for space. And let me go into sensation. And this is one of the things, the reason I love doing, like after a talk like this, I love doing, for example, you know, a series of a teleseminar or something to follow up, is because you get on that kind of seminar, you get to be guided through time after time. So you learn to practice it, because it's like a new muscle that we're so used to going to the default program of looking through the lens, the ordinary lens of that one little frame, we forget. We just go ninny brain. We forget that there's more to us, and we forget to slow down and allow for the experience of more. So when I do a lot of online, you know, like the package we're going to offer is this online package of 3 times, you get guided through so you can practice this and you get your questions answered, more specifically the personal questions. So Jacqueline and I designed it that way in order to give you an experience today, just a taste, and then if you want to follow up, you can. You can purchase the package that she'll we'll be.
Why don't we talk about that now? And
okay.
Then if you still have the time and energy for it, there's another question here
okay.
that came in through the webcast I'd like to select. That's
okay.
generally about prosperity and lack.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe take another caller.
Okay.
Would that be possible?
We can do one more.
Okay. So tell us about your special offer, because I'm sure there are a number of people who'd like to go deeper with you.
Yeah. Oh, that really says it. It's just about going deeper in this exact thing and having your concerns addressed. So you really get to address your personal concerns and to learn, again, how to shift your consciousness, how to do this. You get walked through it so that you can actually, again and again, experience something new. So I don't focus on specific topics, but I focus on helping you shift, like abundance, for example. Someone wants to know about that. How you actually create from this new resonance. So I walk you through those things so that you actually can allow for the natural flow of your energy and your life force and your abundance. You can allow yourself to receive it because it's already there. You allow yourself to receive what's already there and that's beyond your vision at the moment or beyond your thoughts at the moment, and you learn to create even further. So that's what this special seminar is about, is it will guide you through your particular concerns as well as the group, what the group as a whole is needing.
And like tonight, you really kind of go with the flow, and when you
yes.
answer a question individually, you also answer it universally.
Yes, because each person who's asking really has their, they may not know it, but they're voicing what the pulse of the group really is and what the group really wants to know and what all of us really want to know at some level. So each person really is a voice for the whole group.
Spokesperson.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, good word.
Okay. And those sessions are for approximately an hour, although I can
mm-hmm.
imagine you might just run over a little bit.
Maybe a few minutes, but approximately an hour. Yeah, maybe a little more.
And those dates are August 9th, 16th, and 23rd at 10 a.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to your assistant about this, but not to you directly. I assume that, especially since this is vacation time for some people this time of year, that those sessions are going to be recorded and permanently downloadable. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yes. That absolutely. So you won't miss anything, yes, that they will be recorded. Mm-hmm.
And if someone does need to, let's say someone's interested, but they can be there the 9th and the 23rd, but not the 16th, do you have a setup so that people can write to you with any questions so that you can answer them during the time so they can
absolutely.
Hear the answer later?
Absolutely. You can just email on my website, which is anamika.com, A-N-A-M-I-K-A.com, and you can just send an email, and I will answer it. Yes.
Great. And sorry about the very beginning of the call. I always want to say Anamika for whatever reason. That's why I stumbled. Okay. So I'm going to switch back on screens here, and we have a question. Was there anything more that you wanted to say about that before we go to questions?
About the call?
About your package.
Oh, the package, yes, that's what I mean. Yeah, well, the package will really, you will notice absolutely after tonight and also after the package that things will start mysteriously speeding up in your life in a good way. You'll start to find, something's really different here. Because what's happening in this call with Jacqueline and also in the package is that you actually are absorbing a transmission which is increasing your frequency and opening up more doors in your consciousness. And so you will find things a little bit accelerated. Have fun. Yeah. So the call will do that enormously as well. It will really turbocharge things.
Yes, and we did go ahead and include some testimonials, in case you have any questions after listening to this call, of people who've experienced remarkable shifts after having the opportunity to work with Anamika.
Anamika. That's okay. Anamika.
Okay. So Shafin, and I hope I pronounced that correctly, from Toronto, said he'd be really grateful if you could, and I know he speaks for others, could you assist him in healing the lack issues, I'm quoting, that operate underneath, especially around deserving and wanting more?
Well, there's a part of us that never feels worthy, never feels good enough, never feels deserving, and just never can get it right. You know, the part of us that actually feels like a failure. And I know everybody's had that feeling at some point in life. And it's not just based on, oh, I just ruined this or that. But it can be there at any time and irrationally. Or it can be based on something, but it's not really ever based on the thing. It's always there. And that's part of our old hard wiring. It's part of our survival, reptilian nervous system, if you will. And so what happens with that is you just get to recognize, oh, well, that's just a part of my little frame, that one frame. It's just there in that hard wiring. It's part of my one frame that there's a part of me that just never feels good enough. Okay. Can I accept the presence of that without it being the whole of me? Meaning, I know that that's there. I'm very familiar with it. I've been with it my whole life. And I don't need to punish myself for that. I can actually stop punishing myself for that and start to, I don't need to keep beating myself up for feeling that way. I can just say, you know what? That's part of the programming. It's okay that it's there. Served a purpose, a long time ago. It's just not the whole of me. So if I can say, it's okay, it's there, and bring the and again, here comes that little and, dot, dot, dot. If I can bring that part's there and there's more to me, notice what happens if you turn your attention just to curiosity, which is, I wonder what more there is. If that part that feels that way, not good enough, never good enough, is only that one little frame, I wonder what's in the next frames. I wonder what else there is. So just open the door with an inquiry. I wonder what else. And you can type in if you want again to let Jacqueline know what happens for you as you start to ask that question, I wonder what else. Because if you notice, your energy field, your attention starts to shift into the more expansive part of your field, and you start to feel something different, and you might also become aware, wow, I've been really punishing myself all this time. I've been really hard on myself, thinking I had to try harder and work more and do it better and figure it out and fix it and not be such a stupid failure. And wow, I've been really caught in this negativity. I've been caught in this self-punishment. But what if I let it be okay that there's a part of me that just never feels good enough? It doesn't mean it's the truth or the only truth. It's just that tiny one little frame. It's its perspective, and it gets to have its own point of view. It doesn't mean I have to agree with it, but it can be there. I can be in harmony with it. It can have its point of view, and I can open into inquiring into more of me. So that's how I would handle that, is to bring
Thank
it
you.
To the end.
Thank you. And there's someone here who's up at 3 a.m. in the morning from Cape Town, South Africa.
Oh, bless your heart.
So I'm hoping that, and it can be a quick answer, I'm hoping we give her an answer. Her name is Alita, and she's writing in from Cape Town.
Okay.
And her question is simply, how does she let go of her beloved animals who are now all in spirit?
Well, you don't let them go. That's the good news. You don't ever need to let them go. In fact, you just allow them to come more deeply into your heart.
Beautiful.
You focus on receiving them in your heart. We never let go of beings that we are connected to and love, and we love. And there's no need to, happily. Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. And I'm going to leave this up to you. I don't want to press you. We have a number of callers. Shall I pick one, or is it
one final one? One final one. And the rest can come on the they can go to the package and I can answer it then.
Yes, and I also believe that there have been actually so many answers and so much in the vibration of this call. I'll commit to you now that I will leave it up for an extended replay. And here's a little secret. We, unless there's a little slip-up or there's a problem technically, we really endeavor to put our replays up within minutes of the call ending. And you get to the replay by going to Awakening, www.youawakening, as if it's all one word, .com/replay. Because I think this is a call you're going to want to listen to again and again for the depth of its wisdom and for the vibration.
And you will, like Jacqueline's saying, you will get more out of it each time in the sense that even if you've heard the words, they'll start to make more sense to you and they'll start to resonate in your being and you'll feel yourself shifting from the transmission.
Yes. Okay, so I'm calling out our next spokesperson, and from Maryland. Hello? Hello?
That one's not there.
We might have lost this person because it's been so long. I'm going to pick another spokesperson. From Massachusetts.
Hello? Hello.
Hi there.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Yes, yes, we can.
Great. I'm really enjoying this call, and I definitely felt an energy shift during when you sort of got quiet for a little bit. My question is, I'm a mother, and I'm a musician, and I'm a healer, and when you have your own children that are really struggling and having very difficult times, it's very hard to not get really, at least for me, get really wrapped up in wanting to fix everything.
Yeah.
And then I get out of it. I find myself into that state of anxiety, which it was interesting that you said that's not really a feeling state. And and so I was wondering how do one separate so that I can sort of be there for my kids, but at the same time understand that even if they're going through something difficult, it's their journey.
Yes. Well, when we start to recognize that trying to fix another is different than modeling for another, different than honoring the path of another, then we start to actually get more centered in ourselves and let them be more centered in themselves. Because as soon as we want to fix something for another person, we have some agenda for what should be happening at that moment, or we're bringing judgment, which is whatever they're going through shouldn't be happening. It's hurtful, or it's bad, or it's going to lead to disaster. And we start actually projecting our own thoughts and judgment on it, which doesn't give others the space to breathe and feel themselves. So when we come back to bringing our attention into ourselves and our own connection as the top priority, even over and above our children, no matter how much we love them and care about their well-being, when we put our own experience of centeredness as the priority, where we come back deeply into our own connection, that gives them the breathing room also to come into their own connection at a more optimal level, and it moves everybody into more oxygen, more spaciousness, so that whatever is going on gets handled more effortlessly, and you open yourself then to many more possible solutions to whatever the challenges are than the ones that you think need to happen by fixing. So we want to unlimit our perspective again when you're trying to fix or help or save, even out of the best of intentions, which of course your intentions are 100% pure, but even out of the best of intentions, when we bring any preset knowing or thought about it or thought of how things should or shouldn't be, we are immediately limiting ourselves to that one frame. And as soon as we just say, okay, wait, I'm not their savior. I don't need to fix anybody. I just need to come back to me and feel my own expansive nature. And then the solutions will drop in that will be they'll be a win-win. They'll be in everybody's best interest. And they will also be bringing in solutions from their more expansive nature, and things will start to go much more smoothly.
You know, what you just said about the frame, that just really made a lot of, that just really opened up for me.
Good.
I understand. I got a real aha with that.
Good. You got it. Yes, your aura just opened and expanded, and you just came back to be seated in yourself, which is where we all need to be. That's what works. So thank you, Massachusetts, for that question.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Blessings.
Thank you.
And for being the spokesperson for all parents. Thank you. Well. And Amika, what a beautiful, beautiful call and message. Is there anything you'd like to say in parting tonight?
Well, I think just following up on the lovely healer from Massachusetts, that to really just bring your own love and acceptance to yourself, to ourselves, to all of us first and foremost. Just bring love and acceptance for the whole process. We're not broken. Nothing needs to be fixed. We're just on a beautiful journey of exploration and discovery. And when we hold it that way, everything falls into place very, very beautifully. So I think with that, I'll just wish you all good night. And thank you again, Jacqueline, for such a lovely time together. I really, really enjoyed myself.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And good night, everyone. My love to you, my appreciation, and until the next time. And we'll get the replay up as soon as possible, and I'll make sure that it's up for an extra long time. Okay.
Thanks.
Good night. Thank you for being with us.
Bye.